There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right. Sean was right. This is too good. So Dalton Norwood filling in for Sean Sullivan today on Midday Mobile. We're also playing some cuts that Sean had earlier this week from some interviews. But Sean has been in D.C., and he's explained to me what it's been like watching politicos listen to that intro all week who have no idea what's going on, what those clips are, what they mean. That is Sean's intro to Midday Mobile. And on the show with me now, you should have seen their faces, Courtney Thompson with USA Children's and Women's, the NICU department, right,
yes.
Courtney? We've talked before on the air. And also Brian Comer, who I've talked to once or twice before on the air. And they are in the mobile command unit with me, Dalton Orwig, because today on this Child Passenger Safety Week, there's a fantastic car seat safety check. We are here at the USA Health Strata Patient Care Center. If you're unfamiliar with the Strata Center, it is right next to USA Children's and Women's. I think probably most people who have been around here know where that's located. If you see the van, that is where the check is happening. So come on by if you have car seats. Courtney, has anyone pulled in without a car seat yet?
No, we haven't seen that yet. But, you know, we can definitely have seen a lot of things.
So you've been right there in the middle of the action checking these car seats. Talk a little bit about why it's so important to make sure you got these strapped down.
That's right. It's important to make sure it's in there tight and, you know, that they're in the right seat. We've had multiple families come with multiple seats in the car, and so that can kind of be a challenge at times, too, making sure that they all line up and get tight enough. So we're seeing some good stuff today, and I'm glad that people are coming out and taking it seriously because it really is important.
Yeah, it certainly is, and thank you so much for putting this on. Also, Brian, thank you to you and Desi with Tobias and Comer Law for helping out, and this means a lot to you also.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we talked about earlier, it's great to see so many people taking an interest to make sure that their kids are safe. I know I have two small kids, our six-year-old daughter Catherine and two-year-old Alex, and you want to make sure that they're safe and that they're strapped into their car seats right. But like we talked about earlier, that the car seats are installed properly. And Courtney, you had mentioned a statistic to me when we talked before about when at previous events like this, how few are actually installed properly. And Dalton,
right,
you had touched on that too. And people think that they're done right,
right,
but they're still not in right.
Yeah, you know, there's usually something not tight enough, or, you know, the weight limit for the latch is not there for that seat in the position that they need, and just that they're even in the right seat. So we're seeing some interesting stuff today. There's different brands, that there's some specific things that, unless you really dig into the manual to know about, you know, we're able to help with that. We saw something that we don't see too often with the Deano seat facing forward. So we were able to, and luckily the mom had already known that, which was good. So we're seeing some good things too. One child, 21 months old, and they still had them rear facing. That's real rare these days to see that. So we were happy about that. So for the most part, a lot of them are doing, you know, the word must be getting out. They're doing what they should be doing and researching it. So we're just having to do minor things to make sure it's in there good and tight, or, you know, the proper angle. But for the most part, the seats we've seen today, that they are in the correct seat.
Courtney Thompson with USA Children's and Women's Hospital. Also, Brian Comer with Tobias and Comer Law. And, you know, I keep saying, probably people that are listening are like, why do you... car seats. They're just car seats. But some of the stats you've given me about how it is one of, if not the leading cause of death for children, car crashes. On average, two children under 13 were killed and 278 injured every day in 2020, which I believe is the last year we have these statistics for. Two children a day and the injuries. I mean, that's not just, you know, go home the next day. Sometimes very bad injuries, many of which can be prevented. And I keep saying, as we go to the breaks and come back, make sure they're strapped in correctly. That's the easy thing to say, but it's a lot more than just that, right? You mentioned it with rear facing, forward facing. You got booster seats. One of the things we got was, I think it's called a forever seat, something like that, where you could buy it early and keep it through all stages. But when you do that, you still have to make sure you have them, the height and weight restrictions. So talk a little bit more than just about making sure it's strapped in correctly, but making sure they're the right size and height.
So you need to make sure they're in correctly, but also that it's in the car correctly and that they're using it in the appropriate way for that height and weight. So that's important. We've seen a lot of good things today, but you never can be too safe. Mm-hmm. So we want you to come out. We'll be here till about 3 o'clock today. Okay. So that'd be great.
And experts are on the scene.
That's
so
right.
You didn't just pull people off the street to come in and check on those.
No, we've got our regional instructor here, Malia, and she's kind of our final check on things and, you know, referring to the manual and even the car manual, too, to make sure that some of the center positions are, you know, that the seat can actually go there is important, too.
Some of us have been in accidents, and Brian, you've reminded me several times. If you're in an accident, another thing is you need to switch that car seat out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, some people say, oh, well, it's a minor collision or something. No, if you've been in a wreck, get rid of the car seat and don't hand it down to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Throw it away. Buy a new one. You just don't want to take any chances on something like that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate what both of you are doing here today and every day, really. Courtney, I've already told you how much I love USA Children's and Women's for how you guys helped us a few years ago, and hopefully we won't need your help over the next decade and a half. Odds are probably against me with how wild my two are. Probably going to come up here for a broken arm or something like that. Hopefully not, but that could happen. Thank you so much for coming on with me today, and I know you've been in the thick of it, so I'll let you get back to it. And Brian, thanks again. I want to point people to your website again, TobiasComerLaw.com. That's actually where I pulled a lot of this information, because more than just where to find you, you also have stats about a lot of different things on there.
Yeah, absolutely, including information about what age and size children should be in for various car seats. You can check recalls, stuff like that. There's all kinds of resources at TobiasComerLaw.com.
All right.
And thanks so much for having us and coming out here today, Dalton.
No doubt. Brian Comer with Tobias and Comer Law, Courtney Thompson with USA Children's and Women's Hospital. And we're going to be out here for a while longer. They're doing this car seat safety check until 3 p.m. today, so you got plenty of time to come out. And if you're wondering where we are, we're the Strata Patient Care Center on the USA Health campus. We are just across from Children's and Women's, and you'll see the van sitting here in the roundabout by Strata. That's where they are checking out the cars. All right, Midday Mobile continues. When we come back, another part of one of Sean's interviews from earlier this week as he was up in Washington, D.C. We'll get to that. Stay tuned. Midday Mobile right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. My name, Dalton Orwig, filling in for the great Sean Sullivan today as Sean makes his way back from Washington, D.C. He was at the FAIR conference this week alongside Jeff Poor, the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Both of them had fantastic interviews. We'll get to one of those interviews here in just a second. I want to remind you where we are today. Took the mobile command unit out to USA Health and the Strata Patient Care Center right next to USA Children's and Women's Hospital on the same campus. We're doing a car seat safety check for Child Passenger Safety Awareness Week. Tobias and Comer Law helping to put that on for USA Health. So come by. They have experts out here that are installing and making sure you have those kids in the correct car seats. Come on out till 3 p.m. today. One of those interviews that Sean had earlier this week are a couple that he's actually talked to for several years now. Incredible. If you want to really get a good idea of what's actually going on at the border with so many of these crossings, who better to talk to than ranchers in Arizona who have seen illegal immigrants come onto their property quite a bit over the years. Fred and Peggy Davis were in D.C., and they spoke to Sean earlier this week.
It's a treat. It's something I truly look forward to each year, coming back up here and talking to the Davises. And it's funny, I look at the text line, people are like, I remember them. Yes, absolutely. And it's good to have Fred and Peggy back on because, I mean, there's what y'all have talked about over time in this immigration. A lot of us will sit back and go, gosh, this immigration thing's a problem for our country. Gosh, these costs, it costs a lot of money. Gosh, you know, you've got people getting killed by people who shouldn't even be in this country. And people say, well, I'm on the front line. Y'all are literally on the front line of illegal immigration. Talk to folks that have not heard y'all before. What do you do for a living? Where do you live? Where do you ranch?
12 miles east of Tombstone. Our house is exactly 25 miles north of the Mexican border.
I mean, that's as front line as it gets.
Right? Just about. We don't have the problems. Years ago, we had foot traffic, insane amounts. I caught 107 people within 24 hours, within a mile and a half of my house.
Y'all think about that right now. I mean,
25
picture.
25 miles of the border.
That's just the ones you saw.
Yeah.
Correct.
In
right.
a 24-hour period. I mean, it was crazy. Now, the Border Patrol turns them all loose. They pick them up in cars just as quick as they can. Now, the big fear in our neighborhood, our area, our county, is they're advertising for people to come pick them up out of Phoenix and Tucson. They drive down there, pick up a load. The cartel tells them if you'll drive 90 or above, they will quit chasing you. So they're running.
It's that lights. Dialed in. They know just like they know what to say on the border to get, you know, oh, I need asylum or whatever. They know that law enforcement won't pursue over 90.
Well, they will.
That's not true. It's Department of Public Safety will pull up and call it in. But Sheriff's Department, Border Patrol keeps chasing them. And
gotcha.
They spike them, okay. et cetera. But there's been three fatalities in the little town of Sierra Vista where they're running red lights and killing people. We've had a drive-through on our ranch. They saw the Border Patrol coming and one behind them, so they drove out across the pasture, crashed through the fence. They chased them all down. There were 12 in a Suburban. They chased them down in the helicopter.
But this is, once again, this is, we think about this as like, oh, we saw a video of this happen. This is y'all's, this is where you live. This is your ranch. This is, right. These stories are going on at your house.
Well, yesterday, we were on our way here, and there was a drive-through high-speed chase through our ranch. And, you know, that I mean, that's just it's not uncommon at all.
Two-lane highway that runs through the ranch, and they had one yesterday.
So are they coordinating, your best guess here, are they coordinating with the cartel that, hey, this group's going to make it across at, mm-hmm. at whatever, 11 mm-hmm. o'clock in the morning, and this car needs to be there to mm-hmm. pick them up? That's how they're
yeah.
doing it now?
Yeah, they mm-hmm. do it all by cell phone. And
well, and they know when the shift changes with the Border Patrol, and that's when they do all their...
Back when we had the foot traffic, my boy and I stopped and honked, and we saw them running out of the brush to get in these cars.
Okay.
So we pull over and go to honking and whatnot, and they pull out, and I call the station, and I tell them where they are, and they said, oh, well, we're in shift change. I'll have an agent call you as soon as they're available.
Yeah, they're
long gone.
This is an hour and a half of blank time. There's nobody in the field. So they call me an hour and a half later. They said, where are these illegals you called in? I said, they're in Tucson.
Yeah, yeah, nice, they're in buddy. Tucson. Well, and interesting, the Tucson sector station is in Tucson, which is 80 miles north of the border.
It's the only Border Patrol station.
So
sector headquarters that is not on
when they
the
have a shift change, there's
they go,
this big time lapse of a couple of hours, probably, that everything's unattended.
I guess the term I would probably supposed to use is like, that's very inefficient, but Peggy, that's dumb.
Well, that's government.
That's dumb.
So, no.
and but that feeling that you've got, I mean, this is not just... Not theory to y'all. This is your life. Here come people illegally immigrating. They're on your property.
I cannot stop them.
And now you can't talk about that.
Yes. If you show up on my ranch, walk through a no trespassing sign.
Watch what happens to me.
Mm-hmm. I can do a citizen's arrest and call a sheriff and have you detained.
Yep.
I cannot do that with an illegal.
Now, why
they have
that?
Rights that you do not.
So if they come on the property, you can't stop, detain.
Mm-mm. Nothing. I call
you have to stand aside. They could walk by, flipping you the bird. Yeah, yep. You and I thought the same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've
you
had
can do
happen.
Nothing.
They just walk by us and give us that.
I've told
look
them
that
because they know this. They know that
they
you can't.
They know we can't do anything.
In
we
can the past. Call.
We can call the Border Patrol.
Yeah, but you just told me they're in Tucson, and it should change time.
Yes. And so, which means anymore, I don't call. I just don't call.
There was
so you've given up.
There's no point. Yeah.
There was a period of time when if we had less than 10, Border Patrol wouldn't come. They were too busy. I mean, they just had.
You know what I'd done? Yeah, I got 11. They get there. So I don't know what happened the other. There's 9 here, Sean. Well,
they split up.
Yeah.
I followed a group one time.
When they find them, though, I just want them to go along their merry way now. Because
you want them off your. I get that part. You want them off your property, but this constant people on your. I mean,
all the time
on your property. If people thought about because they're like, well, it's a big ranch or what? And what if somebody's coming through your yard, y'all? Listen to it every day.
My yard is a little bigger, but
they're coming through your yard every day.
They're using the bathroom in my pasture. They're dropping trash covered with fentanyl.
Let's talk about that because that I mean that we had a 38% rise in the number of fentanyl overdoses in the last year in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, you know, this is changing. Yeah, and it's coming across our border.
Yeah, and we've picked up thousands of pounds of trash on our property in the last 40 years.
And you can't detain them. Once again, let's go back to what Fred said a second. You can't. They just walk through.
Exactly. And when they get to a vehicle, the vehicles are so heavily loaded, they won't let them take a coat, a backpack, anything with them, just what they're wearing.
And so where does that stuff get?
So they dump it right when they get in the vehicle. We had our county got a federal grant, and they got a bunch of at-risk kids, and they brought them out to pick up trash. In an area that was a favorite pickup spot on our ranch, it's about 50 yards wide and about half a mile long, and it's right off the highway, but the brush is so thick you can't see.
Gotcha. So they can hide in the brush till it's pickup time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So they took, those kids picked up 16 dump trailer loads of trash in that little area.
Holy.
In 4 days.
Moly. So, I mean, I wonder, and that, how many people does that represent that there's that much trash they drop? How many, I mean, you have ever thought about, like, how many illegal immigrants have come through your ranch over time?
Oh.
But the lads, the Border Patrol, have arrested over 500,000 on their ranch.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A half of...
And that's not counting the ones that you know got away.
Right, right. The gotaways over there.
So, you know, 7 out of 10 get away.
Can you repeat that again, Fred? That,
half a million.
Welcome back, Midday Mobile. That portion of the interview that Sean Sullivan had with Fred and Peggy Davis, some ranchers from Arizona, earlier this week as they told their story. If you want to hear the entire podcast, you can go to our website, fmtalk1065.com, or easily enough, download the app, the FM Talk 1065 app on iTunes or Google Play, and you can get the podcasts there as well. We are right now live from USA Health's Strata Patient Care Center. Child Passenger Safety Week runs through this weekend. So we, thanks to Tobias and Comer Law and USA Health, putting on a car seat safety check here. They'll be here until 3 p.m. this afternoon and come out, make sure everybody is safe in the car, including the most important ones, the little ones. And we'll be here through Midday Mobile, but you can come on out until 3 p.m. today. More of Midday Mobile on the way. This is Dalton Orwig filling in for Sean Sullivan. Give us a call or text. I like reading texts. 251-343-0106. More Midday Mobile on the way.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5 as we make it through this very, very hot Friday, although not as hot as yesterday, still late September, and that thermometer way on up there as we speak. And as we wrap out this last half hour of Midday Mobile, I want to talk with our good buddy Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins. Hey, Angelo, how you doing today?
Hey, man, doing great. How about yourself?
I'm great. I'm out here at the University of South Alabama, well, the medical campus, as we're doing a child car seat safety check, but I know where I need to go very soon, and that would be Mobile Bay Coins. Obviously, holiday season right around the corner, and I know you guys have lots of stuff in stock that people can check out.
Well, we really do, and you know, people have been worried. It sort of surprised me how many people are coming in early and worrying early about Christmas shopping, about getting their engravable rounds or their open-ell knives or all the different things they want for the holidays. So we've been placing orders a little ahead of schedule, already have our Christmas rounds and bars in. And for the people that don't know, it's a one-ounce silver round or a one-ounce silver bar. It's going to have either like the nativity scene, the Santa Claus. The back of those are engravable, so you can have them customized, have the kid's first name put on there, maybe their initials, you know, something like that. That way everybody knows you were thinking of them when you're buying that Christmas present. It wasn't just a last-minute rush.
Yeah, and I think one I've picked up from you in the past, you have the military branches as well that you can put on there, and plenty more.
We do. We have military, sports, a lot of different options on all of those, and those we keep year-round. It's just obviously for the Christmas season. We normally get those in October, November time frame, but we already got our orders in, and we've been selling them a lot.
Yeah, and earlier you mentioned open-ell knives, and that's what I carry every day. I have an open-ell knife. I actually have a couple, but one I carry every day, and I absolutely love it. If someone out there hasn't checked those out, you have all sizes. You have a whole wall of them, right?
Yeah, we do. We keep expanding. Every time I try to order something new, something extra. Open-ell's a knife company, been around since 1890, I think it was. Been making pocket knives and kitchen knives for a long, long time. So whether you're looking for a pocket knife as a gift, or one of those cool gardening sets or kitchen sets as a gift, or for yourself, we've got all of them in stock and available.
All right, Angelo, let the folks know how they can get in touch, where they can find you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. Online, they can check us out at mobilebaycoins.com, or like and follow us on Instagram or on Facebook. Of course, they can always tune in with you guys every Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5 with the radio show Two Guys and Some Change.
That's right. Hey, have a good one, Angelo.
You too, sir.
All right, there you have it. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins, and we're live. USA Health Strata Patient Care Center, that car seat safety check. Now they're hour and a half that they'll be doing that here. Another thing a lot of folks are keeping their eyes on as we head into the weekend is what's brewing in the Caribbean. I know a lot of the talk has been about Hurricane Fiona, and deservedly so for what it did to Puerto Rico, and as it makes its way up the Atlantic, possibly into Canada here in the next few days. But down here, we're worried about what was known as Invest 98L. It's now being called Tropical Depression Number 9, and very soon it'll be likely to get an actual name once it develops even further. For an update on that, we talked with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. Here he is from earlier letting us know what we can expect.
Well, it's located now over the eastern Caribbean, and it is moving in a west-northwest direction. We expect it to maintain that today and also tomorrow. But later tomorrow, it most likely will take more of a northern turn. And that will likely bring the center of the storm that will continue to intensify and become a full-fledged hurricane over the western Caribbean and either go through the Yucatan Channel or possibly over the western portion of Cuba. And that'll bring it into the southeastern Gulf of Mexico on Monday. And after that, likely it will turn more to the northeast and make landfall on the Florida Peninsula. Whether it's the northern part, central, or southern part, it looks like it's going to be a Florida hurricane. And we'll track across Florida on late Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. Could it make a turn to the west or maybe move a little bit to the north? Moving to the north is possible, but more likely now it's going to make that turn. And the important time will be tomorrow afternoon when it should make that turn to the north. If it delays that, then it will move that landfall a little farther north and west. But right now it looks like Florida will be there. Now, why is it turning like that? Well, there's a cold front coming through, as I mentioned, on Monday. And high pressure will build over the eastern states, and that will sort of block the storm from moving up toward the central Gulf Coast. The upper air currents will turn it to the northeast toward the Florida Peninsula.
Thanks to Dr. Bill for filling us in on that. And, of course, tune in bright and early Monday morning with Dan Brennan and myself starting at 6 a.m. We'll get the latest from Dr. Bill then. And also this morning he mentioned a couple waves coming off the African coast that we should probably keep our eyes on. Although he did say one of them is headed straight north. So, I don't know, watch out Spain, watch out England. I'm not sure where that one's headed. But good idea to listen to Dr. Bill as much as possible during this time of year. All right, Midday Mobile as we roll on. Also, I want to remind everyone as we head into the weekend and hopefully get some nice weather that if you're taking part in the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge, you got to get your weekly picks in before tomorrow morning. I know Brent Boy is still leading the way. If the season ended today, he would be the big winner of that tailgating package from Spring Hill Ace Hardware that the winner of our challenge will get later this year. And plenty of good football if you're in that kind of mood tomorrow. Auburn will be hosting Missouri. We'll see if Auburn can bounce back after that big loss to Penn State. That game airs right here on FM Talk 106.5. Now, kickoff is at 11, and we'll be broadcasting the pregame show beginning at 10 a.m., just after Prep Sports Report wraps. 2:30, you have Tennessee hosting Florida. That's a top 25 matchup, as the fans in Knoxville with some high expectations. And 6 o'clock tomorrow night, 23-ranked Texas A&M hosting number 10 Arkansas, that game in Dallas. So those are big. You also have Alabama hosting Vanderbilt. Boy, wouldn't that be an upset. It ain't going to happen. Here at home, South Alabama is hosting Louisiana Tech. Now, Tech has had a good team in the past, and South coming off a pretty disappointing Saturday. They had UCLA right where they wanted them and could have won a big game against a Pac-12 team in the Rose Bowl. Unfortunately, they did not. They lose by 1 point. And then they had that long, long trip back here to Mobile. That'll be a good one at Hancock-Whitney because a 6 p.m. kick, if you can make it out there, that'll be a really, really fun thing to check out. If you can't make it, it is on ESPN+. So I did want to mention this, and I talked about it a little bit this morning, but I don't think any of us – now, we do take our football seriously, and I don't know how seriously this female student at Utah actually takes football or whether she was just making – baseless threats, but a female student from the University of Utah was arrested Wednesday after making a threat of terrorism. But it wasn't just any threat, and they said this was posted on the Yik Yak app, which I have personally, I've never heard of the Yik Yak app, and there's probably a reason behind that. But she threatened that if her team, her university's team, Utah, lost to San Diego State, that she would detonate the nuclear reactor that is apparently there on the campus at the University of Utah. She said she would cause a mass destruction, and police investigated. They said the student knows about the nuclear reactor, has classes in the same building where it's housed. Fortunately for all of us, Utah won that game going away 35-7, but it had me wondering, like, can a nuclear reactor actually explode? Like, what would happen? I honestly have no idea. I'm sure many of you out there know a lot better than I, but Google at least says it's impossible for a reactor to explode like a nuclear weapon. They said they contain very special materials in very particular configurations, neither of which are present in a nuclear reactor. So they're saying that's a myth that it can explode. I don't necessarily trust Google, but it didn't matter for this Utah student. She's headed to jail. And then another one I need y'all to tell me about is this TikTok challenge breaking into Hyundais and Kias, or Hyundais and Kias, and now they're facing class action lawsuits. I guess you use a USB cord or something. Insane. TikTok, Yik Yap. I don't know. I do know Midday Mobile continues. FM Talk 106.5 rolls on. Stay tuned.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Talk with Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino Rowan, your law firm currently helping individuals who are exposed to contaminated water at Camp Lejeune. It's a marine base, isn't it?
That is one of the main marine bases. It is. It's one of the three in the world. And unfortunately, there's some bad water that has caused cancer and birth defects for a lot of people that lived in that area.
Now, we talk about cases affecting members of the military. It's always personal for you. You're a Marine. You're a Marine that actually knows Camp Lejeune, too.
Right. I was in Camp Lejeune in 1990, and so I missed the deadline to be a plaintiff. I hadn't had cancer, thank the good Lord. But 1987 is the end time period, and starts in 1953 when the bad water existed there that had tons of contaminants in there, cancer-causing contaminants, other things that, like I said, caused illnesses for the people that were there much later. Mm-hmm. As well as birth defects, as well as stillborn babies and miscarriages. Yeah, it's horrible.
I mean, so we know this is personal to you now on multiple levels. We've talked about this. I remember you and I talking about the earplug issue and how personal it was to you and talking to members of the military. Obviously, this is your Marines, man. This is y'all.
Yeah, doing the earplug cases, I mean, it's just been an incredible honor to represent people from all of the branches. And I respect anybody that serves their country. But, you know, I mean, I'm a Marine. And we kind of stick together. So it's a different type of a situation because we're going after the government for lying to us, and which they did. And the government has admitted that they lied and has admitted that because they lied, they caused a lot of harm to people. So it's a much different lawsuit than really I've ever been involved with from, you know, that standpoint.
So this is the water. I mean, when you're at Camp Lejeune, this is the water. The water you drink, the water they probably make the food with, the water you shower in, everything.
Right. So when you're at Camp Lejeune, you know, you take a glass of water or maybe you've had some weird tasting water, very minerally or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it is just minerals. But in this case, it was literally contaminated water with chemicals and the
toxic chemicals, it says in the story I was reading about it. Toxic chemicals.
Yeah, benzene, you know, a lot of these chemicals you can't pronounce the name of,
right,
you know, unless you're a scientist. But bad chemicals, and it tasted funny, and people complained about it. And the military actually, and the U.S. government, told the people that were staying there and near there that it was just minerals, and it was actually good for them, so they should drink more of the water.
Wait a second. This is part I didn't check out, Ed. So instead of just not saying anything, which is already an issue, they said, oh, it's good for you?
Drink more water. It's good for you. And that was completely the opposite of true. It was false. They knew it was false. And as a result, like I said,
So they knew that these toxic chemicals were in there, is what you're saying. They knew this. And then even after that, they were telling people, yeah, drink the water. It's fine. Drink some more.
Yeah, the fortunate thing about, you know, being subject to the government is, you know, the government is somewhat immune from suit. And, you know, you can have some bad actors that can do some things that can cause harm to people. It happened in this case. Congress realized it, and they're passing the Camp Lejeune Justice Act, which is going to allow these folks that were there from 1953 to 1987 to have an independent cause of action, or it could be a loved one. Most of the folks I'm representing right now, they've already passed away from cancer, and so I'm representing their estate, or, you know, their client is basically their spouse.
So, I mean, you're listening to us, family members that were at Camp Lejeune from 1950s.
Early 1950s to the late 1980s.
And you mentioned cancer, but I'm looking through this list. You kind of rolled through it before. I mean, Parkinson's disease.
Right.
Like you said, miscarriage, female infertility. I mean, things that you might not even think. I mean, you get into these cancers here, that's like clustering, but there's some of these things that, like cardiac defects. I mean, things that people might not link. They say, oh, it's cancer. It seems on this list a lot of things.
And this is, it's legitimate. These things have been studied scientifically by the EPA, by independent scientists, and it's become clear what has caused these cancers and birth defects and stillborn babies and other ailments. The government has admitted that and has been admitting it since around 2010, 2012, but not until just recently has this act come through Congress, and it passed the Senate 84 to 14. And, you know, there have been some procedural hurdles, but it's going to be passed, you know, hopefully in the next month or two.
Yeah, also interesting here, reading through this, as more information comes out about Camp Lejeune drinking water illnesses, this list of diseases and cancers could change. It could increase. There could be things that aren't even on this list right now.
Right. There's a list of 17 different ailments that is accepted currently by the VA and has been accepted by the VA since about 2012. But there's really more like 50 or 60 things that are more likely actually caused by it that we think that list is going to be expanded.
You're talking about the, you know, the what happens to mothers bearing children, that people were those children too, and not just, I mean, if they were a child or they were, you know, they were drinking that water, their mothers were drinking that water, they're also eligible to file in these lawsuits.
Right. I don't know if you noticed this, Sean, but there's a lot more cancer going around now. I mean, yeah. It's weird. Yeah. I go to funerals all the time of cancer. People that lose their battle with cancer. And most of it is environmental. And it's pretty sad. Something is causing it that's being put into our water or otherwise. And this is a case where, you know, somebody, a loved one, died of cancer. They happened to be a Marine or spouse of a Marine, lived on base or near base at Camp Lejeune. And, you know, they're finding out much later that, you know, these bad things were in the water there. The government knew about it, didn't do anything about it, lied to the folks that were drinking that water, told them to drink more water. And, you know, now there's a cause of action. And so bad things were done, and that's what the legal system's about.
I mean, do you have any idea the number of people? Because, I mean, you're talking about Marines that were at Camp Lejeune, family members as well. I mean, there's a few, the proud of the Marines, but there's a bunch over, you know, for decades we could be talking about, a lot of people.
There's three divisions of the Marines, three main bases in the Marines. So, and Camp Lejeune was one of those three. So, I mean, you think about the number of Marines that came through from 1953 through 87. I haven't calculated that figure.
It's a bunch of people. I mean, and right. Yeah, like you said, and spouses and children, you know.
Right.
So people listening to us right now got to be thinking, okay, well, even if it wasn't, you know, them, it was, oh, well, Dad was there, or my grandfather was there.
That's right.
They were Marine. They were at Lejeune. I remember that.
If your loved one was at Camp Lejeune in that time period and had cancer or some weird condition, but mostly cancer, or, you know, there's a...
But gosh, there's a big list of other things, too. Yeah.
Bad water, benzene, and all these other chemicals are terrible for developing baby. And so I'm hearing about, and I'm actually seeing... folks that were born at Camp Lejeune with severe defects and severe health problems. And that's really the most tragic thing, you know, for an innocent child in gestation to be infected like that.
Oh, my gosh. So if somebody's listening to us that does, you know, you have for them said, okay, that is us. That's our family. That's this family member. What do they do? They have these conditions. They knew, or they maybe sometimes, you know how this is, somebody knows that somebody died of something. Right, it was my father, it was some kind of cancer, but I don't remember. They come to you first. Can you figure those things out?
Yeah, I mean, just information, yeah. Right? I mean, just they need to call us and get information. And we'll talk to them, you know, freely, of course, and no strings attached. So just call my firm, Taylor Martina Rowan, and talk to me or just say I'm calling about the bad water cases at Camp Lejeune, and we'll put you with the right person.
Yeah, call up and ask for the Marine. Ask for Ed Rowan. Thanks for coming in.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right, Ed Rowan with Taylor Martino Rowan.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal service.